Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, broadcasting from the pulpit of sports radio in Boston, it's Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Good morning, welcome in. Boston Sports Original, WEEI. I am the Reverend Arcan, and this is Sunday Mass. Nice to have you with us here today on this holiest of days, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all those who celebrate out there. I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but I will be celebrating later. I'm going into Boston later. I know. Here's what happened, okay? Like, I wasn't planning on this. But I went to college out of state, and I have some of my college friends hit me up last week, and they said, hey, Arcand, we're coming to Boston for St. Patrick's Day. It's like a bucket list thing, you know? Like, it's just one of those things they always wanted to do, like going to New Orleans for Mardi Gras or something, coming to Boston for St. Patrick's Day. This is our Mardi Gras. I mean, it really is. It's only one weekend, not a whole, 2 weeks or whatever like it is in New Orleans, but we do what we can in our little Puritan city, don't we? I mean, we try our best here to have a good time. And my friends called me and they said, we're coming, we're staying in the Seaport, and that's that. And I said, you guys, it's nice that you want to come, and I'm happy to see you, but we're a couple decades late, you know? This isn't like something that you do when you're much older, like, oh, yeah, now we're in our 40s. We're going to go to Boston for the parade. It's like, no, you don't. I told them, I was like, yeah, I'll come meet you. I will come out and meet you. I'm not going to leave you high and dry. But I think that if you had chosen to do this even like 5 years ago or 10 years ago, ideally, but really we're talking like 15, 20 years ago, then this would have been a better experience for you. I think you would have just liked it more. You would have had a better time. You would have had, fewer stresses that come with being an older person in a big group setting like this. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. So anyways, St. Patrick's Day is a day that I've many, many years spent at the parade and in and around the area and doing fun stuff like that. Haven't done it for a while. It's been a while since I've partaken in the festivities of St. Patrick's Day. So hopefully I won't be too rusty. But I'll say this, and you may disagree, but if you know someone who lives in Southie, if you know someone who has like an apartment in Southie, the parade's a lot easier than if you don't. if you don't know anybody down there and you're just out there, you're going to have trouble finding a bathroom. You're going to be, there's going to be people all around. Like, it's going to be a different experience than it would be if you happen to know somebody who lives in the area. That's just a word of advice. If you haven't already planned this out, I wouldn't bother now, because whoever you know down there's probably already got a whole situation going on for today. But It is a fun day in the Commonwealth. I will certainly say that. I've had, and this is an important thing to remember too, just a little PSA here before we get into everything, is that I spent many St. Patrick's Day on the business side of the bars, okay, bartending. And I'll tell you, not a fun day for the bartenders. You make a lot of money, but it's not a fun day. It is a amateur hour, to say the least. Everyone calls New Year's Eve amateur hour. I mean, St. Patrick's Day gets that way very much as well. And so I would just say this, be kind to the people who are making your drinks. You know, be nice to them. Leave them nice tips. They're working hard today. And I'll say this, if you've ever bartended on St. Patrick's Day and you have to keep making the Baileys and the Kahlua, you know what I'm talking about, with the Guinness, I won't say what it's called because people don't like that. I shouldn't say it on St. Patrick's Day, but you know what I'm talking about. You make that drink over and over and over again. Suddenly your skin gets this like weird film on it. It's like it comes from like the Baileys and the Kahlua and how, you know, the sort of the syrup and all that. And it gets on you. And you go and you wash your hands and it's still there. And like you can't. The only way I think to really get it off is to take a tomato bath, like when you get sprayed by a skunk. I think that's the only real way to do it. But you're going to have to really scrub to get that off. And that's no fun. So, again, be nice to the people on the bar out there. I'm seeing already some texters saying, hey, Arcand, you know, you do this Sunday Mass, and now you're talking about St. Patrick's Day. I just want to say, I don't do Sunday Mass to, like, make fun of church or anything like that. I'm a Catholic. I grew up going to church. I was an altar boy. I was confirmed in the church. Like, I'm not a super religious person, but I'm not. I got married in a church. My son got baptized. Like, it's not that I'm mocking anybody. I just, you know, it's part of my identity, and it's something that I like to joke about sometimes. That's all. I mean, it's really, I hope nobody's really bothered by it. I don't think anyone is, but I have gotten some texts about that. And, you know, why are you mocking that? I'm not mocking anything. It's not. It's just the show's on Sunday. I grew up Catholic. This is what I did on Sundays. And by the way, when I was a kid, I don't know if people still do this, because I'll admit I don't go to church that much anymore, but when I was a kid, depending on what time of year it was and who the priest was, sometimes the priest would pray for the teams. That would be like part of the, you know, part of the homily. I remember very distinctly this one priest kept praying for Robert Parrish going up against Kareem. You know, it was the finals. And he said, and I also just want to say a little prayer for the Chief, that, you know, that he's strong in the pain against Kareem and that Skyhook. And it's like, that was, you know, that was just part of it. I don't know if that still happens anymore. But that was part of the thing that I used to enjoy. Anyways, there's a lot to get to here. We have a lot to get to over the course of these 2 hours. I only got 2 hours today because we have Red Sox baseball coming your way at 1 o'clock. A lot of stuff coming up here on WEEI today, including a Selection Sunday program at 6 o'clock that we'll tell you about in trending. But it was a busy week in the NFL. And I'll say this, yesterday was a busy day in the NFL because Justin Fields was traded from the Chicago Bears to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, what this sort of signaled to everybody, and we know this already at this point, I'd say, but, you know, just to sort of recap here, we knew that Chicago was picking first. We knew that they had their eyes on Caleb Williams, that they liked Caleb Williams, but we weren't sure exactly what they were going to do with Justin Fields. They were trying to move on from him. We knew that. It's been a very, very tough year for the draft class of 2021. I'll say that, the quarterbacks. They're all getting sort of shoved aside, except for Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, it's other than him, I mean, it's been a bit of a disaster. Trey Lance is a backup in Dallas. Mac Jones is backing up Lawrence in Jacksonville. I don't know what's going to happen with Wilson out there in New York. And Justin Fields now is going to back up Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, at least to start off. And we'll see how that actually goes, because they don't have a big commitment to Russell Wilson. They're only paying him $1.2 million. They can sort of decide who they want to go with at the end of the year based on how they both play. But I also think that this is part of the reason, and I didn't entertain a lot of this, but when I was going on my little Russell Wilson crusade, which that really went well, I'm about as good of a GM as Matthew Judon, aren't I? Just, oh, for everything. I've whiffed on everything. Everything, every single thing I've wanted them to do, they haven't done. And I understand, like Matthew Judon, everybody makes fun of you, calls you a bad GM. I empathize, man. I empathize with wanting the team to do something and then just not doing it ever. Because that's what's been going on with the things that I've picked. Anyways, the Russell Wilson thing, when I was on that big crusade, people kept saying, well, if you want to bring in a young quarterback, then do you consider him a good mentor to a young quarterback? And my answer to that was no, I don't think he is. I think he's sort of weird and off-putting. I think he's still trying to get paid, and he's still trying to lead a team. He still thinks he's like a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, and I think he's better than people say he is. I mean, his numbers last year weren't bad. 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, that would be, are you kidding me? Here in New England, that would be great. That would have been fantastic in New England last year. People would have been doing backflips for that compared to what we got. So, you know, maybe Wilson's not what he used to be, okay. But to say that he's completely useless now and can't play anymore is just wrong, I think. And we'll see how he does in Pittsburgh. But he did pretty well last year in Denver with not much to work. Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, that's not some great offense. All right, he's got a better offense in Pittsburgh. And they're good at drafting wide receivers, and there's a ton of wide receivers in this draft. So I'd imagine he'll have Pickens and whoever the rookie is, and they'll do okay. And if he doesn't do okay, you got Justin Fields right there behind him to come in and play, and he's playing for a contract. They can decide what they want to do. They can decide if they want to keep him and extend him. They can decide if they want to let him just walk to free agency. For a sixth-round pick, the Steelers now have this kind of agency. They have this flexibility. They can kind of do whatever they want. For $1.2 million going to Russell Wilson and a sixth-round pick going to Chicago for Justin Fields, which I guess could become a fourth, right? Is that it? It becomes a fourth if he starts, or if he starts a certain amount of games or something. I'll look at the exact details of it, but it's a sixth that could become a fourth. I know that for sure. Not very much. Not very much, and I'll tell you what. Compared to what I think the Patriots quarterback situation is going to be this season, I'll take what they got in Pittsburgh. Honestly, I would. I don't think it's perfect. You know, I don't think that Russell Wilson is necessarily going to be a great match in the room with Justin Fields. I just think they're two guys on very different trajectories with different goals trying to, you know, tear each other down, basically. This isn't going to be one of those collaborative years where they're all just rooting for each other. No. Justin Fields, this is his big chance. This is his fourth year. All right, they're not picking up his option, but they may want to extend him, and he's going to be a free agent. He's going to want to make money out on the market. And for Russell Wilson, this may be his last chance to ever do anything. And so it's not perfect. It's not a perfect scenario. But I got to believe it's better than what's going on here in New England. I'm sorry. And it's not necessarily just based on the quarterback decision because we don't know what that is yet. But I think that whoever it is, whichever one of these quarterbacks that they draft, you see how free agency's going, don't you? Did you think in a million years with all this extra money to spend, with this crazy amount of cap space that the Patriots had, did you ever in a million years think that at this point on St. Patrick's Day on March 17th, we'd be sitting here talking about Antonio Gibson, Austin Hooper, Jacoby Brissett, and am I missing somebody? No, I don't think I am. I think that's it, right? Oh, I'm sorry. And Okorafor, who was cut last year, or was benched last year for a rookie and didn't get his job back. If that's what people were expecting the Patriots were going to do with their $105 million in cap space, right? That's what they had going into this before they started re-signing people. It was about $105 million. $105 million. And they've spent about half of that bringing back their potential free agents who were on, you know, the bad team last year, obviously. And by the way, I'll get to that in a second. I don't think that's some big crime. It's not a big crime to bring your own guys back, okay? You know, there were some pretty good players in the 2000 Patriots, and they won 5 games. And they were all instrumental in 2001 winning that Super Bowl. So, I mean, there's guys that you don't want to just let leave because they were on a bad team once. Like, there's good players on the team. Great players? I don't know. I don't know if we got any future Hall of Famers lurking around in this roster. Maybe somewhere. But, you know, it doesn't seem like it's that level. But, again, I mean, what were we saying in 2000? These guys are all going to be future Hall of Famers, this team that made it to the Super Bowl once in 97 and then got worse and then bottomed out in 2000? Like, no. No one thought that. So I'm okay with them bringing some guys back. I don't know that they needed to bring almost everybody back. I think that's a little much. You got three linebackers, you know? you got Josh Uche, and I like Josh Uche. Anfernee Jennings, he was pretty good last year. But you're merely making a big deal out of getting these linebackers and bringing them back, and it's like, fine. But, you know, there's no way you can find another Josh Uche out there somewhere. There's no other Anfernee Jennings anywhere. And I know you got team-friendly deals with these guys, but aren't we trying to upgrade? Aren't we trying to upgrade our team? And on offense, what have you upgraded? your third down running back? If you look at the stats, you've actually downgraded from Mike Gesicki to Austin Hooper, which I didn't think it was humanly possible to downgrade from Mike Gesicki, but you did it somehow. I mean, you know, and maybe Hooper will be better here in this offense. I have no idea. He wasn't good last year, and he didn't play a lot. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got more to talk about here in terms of the week that was in the NFL. But there's one thing that came out this week. It happened after the Patriots whiffed on Calvin Ridley. Jacina Anderson tweeted something that I've been unable to get out of my head all week. It's been grinding me, and not because I don't like Jacina Anderson. It has really nothing to do with Jacina Anderson. It's something that I believe someone said to Jacina Anderson, and then she tweeted. And it's been driving me up the freaking wall all week long. We'll get to that right after trending, and we'll get to your phone calls, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Sunday Mass on WEEI with Christian Arcand.
Craig, a hard number that he has to observe, and is there room to continue to add this spring?
We have set parameters for him, and he's operating under those parameters.
Can we surmise that there is additional room from where you are now compared to the parameters that you've set?
You know, I do not want to talk about specifics related to payroll or parameters because it does nothing to help us competitively. And look, I think the focus on spending is fair and reasonable given where we've finished the last couple of years. We understand there's frustration. The best way to turn that frustration around is to go out and win baseball games and have the focus be on the team and our players versus where we're spending. There's nothing that I can say or do at this point in the offseason that's going to make anybody feel great about what's happened the last 2 years. So we've turned the page internally and we're moving on to 2024.
Back here, Sunday Mass, Reverend Arcand with you until 1 o'clock. Nice to have you with us here today. We'll get to your phone calls in just a minute, and I'm sure some of you are probably confused. Said, hey, Arcand, I thought you were going to talk about a Jacina Anderson tweet. I am, but I wanted to play that first. And the reason I wanted to play that is because that drove me nuts, hearing Sam Kennedy say that. Because, I mean, it's not like Sam Kennedy's had a great offseason here, let's be honest. He's had a good, professionally he has. He got a big promotion. He's doing very well professionally, but in the court of public opinion, I'd say it's been a, I don't know,
Been a tough winter for Sam Kennedy. Wouldn't you agree? That being said, his little speech there was one that I think rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, because for someone who is as good at PR as Sam Kennedy is, he was saying basically, we understand that, you know, we haven't spent a lot and we understand you're frustrated, but best way to turn that frustration around is to go out and win baseball games. Like, yeah, we know you were in last place last year and you didn't make the team any better. In fact, you probably got a little bit worse. That's the issue. That's why we're mad. That's why we're frustrated, because we don't think you are going to be better this year, because there's no indication that you as an organization are trying to get any better. That's really the problem. It doesn't seem like you're trying to get better. It's not even so much the spending. Like, the spending is a big part of it. You have to spend, I think, to compete. But there's trades you can make. There's other ways you can go about it. It doesn't seem like you're trying. All right? I think that's the big issue that a lot of people have. Now, I wanted to play that just to sort of play it off of this tweet from Jacina Anderson 4 days ago when Calvin Ridley signed with the Tennessee Titans. That was on Wednesday, I believe. Yeah, Wednesday the 13th. It was around 5:30, and if you were watching Jones and Mego that day, then you saw a broken man do the trending right after that. I was devastated to see that. I was devastated to see that. I have a theory on how it all went down, why it all went down the way it did. And let me just say, it's not informed speculation, but it's a theory that I think has a little more. I've heard some things about this situation that I believe and that I'll share with you in just a minute. But anyway, here's Jacina Anderson's tweet when the Patriots missed out on Calvin Ridley. Hashtag Patriots will mainly turn their attention to the draft to address wide receiver, I'm told. They've moved on. Remember, splashes come in the win-loss column. Splashes come in the win-loss column. The best way to turn that frustration around is to go out and win a few baseball games. The real free agents are the friends we made along the way. Like, what the hell, man? Like, there's two last place teams in this city, and the two of them, when it comes to making the rosters better, when asked about, well, what are you going to do to make the rosters better, their response is, I don't know. I mean, hey, winning games would really be great. Yeah, right. Okay, but before the season starts, there's a chance for you to upgrade the roster, get better players, trade for better players, pay better player, free agents, things you can do in order to get out of last place, which is where you've been. In the Red Sox case, a couple years now, the Patriots now finding themselves in last place, and I don't know, not really looking like they're getting out of there anytime soon, based on the way this offseason has gone. It's really something. You know, not to sound like a spoiled Boston fan here or anything, but I do remember a time when all four of these teams were sort of competing with each other to stay in the headlines. And they were all making a big push to sort of be the number one team and stay there and be the team getting talked about on sports radio and written about in the papers and talked about, leading the sports hour or whatever on the nightly news. And that was the way it was. And now I see these two last place teams. And by the way, if you go by that survey, the channeled market research survey, the two most popular teams in town, the Patriots and the Red Sox, are still numbers one and two, according to that survey, among Boston fans. The Boston Celtics, by the way, are having the best season by far in the league right now. It's not their best season ever. They've had better seasons. But right now, they're the best team in the NBA by a good margin. The Bruins just got back into the lead for the President's Trophy again. And listen, I understand. A little sensitive with that, okay, after what happened last year with Florida. But still, it's something that you have to sort of take into account here as you look at these last place teams who are not actively, it would appear, actively trying to improve their station in life. Red Sox ownership does not seem to care about this team. I'm sorry. That's how it comes off. That's how it comes off to the fans. If you, I know they still like you in the survey, but in the rest of that survey, when it came to ownership and trusting ownership, you did not do well. All right? There's not a lot of belief. There's not a lot of expectation here that the Red Sox ownership really cares that much about the team or how they finish. With the Patriots, this stings a little harder. Maybe it's just because they were, they were in a dynasty more recently, and the Red Sox had that great 2018 season, but we've had a couple of years sort of to see that all unravel. And the stinginess of ownership be a direct driving force behind it. I mean, they won the World Series in 2018. Mookie was gone in 2019. So, you know, I mean, that happened. It was bam, bam. with the Patriots, there was hope. There was hope in 2021. There was the Cam Newton year was awful, but in 2021, it seemed like they had something there with Mac Jones. They were a playoff team. It seemed like they had turned things back around. And now here they are 2 years later, bottoming out. You know, really, I mean, about as badly as you possibly can. And rather than take the steps that I and a lot of other people think would take and that you should take when you have a ton of extra money and that's really the only draw that you have to bring players here. You know, the Tom Brady days are long gone. The Patriot way is not a thing anymore, if it ever was. You are a very unattractive landing spot for a free agent NFL player. And if you need any further, you know, evidence of that, just look at how many guys they've struck out on. Now, they did re-sign their own guys, in fairness. It's not like they haven't spent any money. They've re-signed their own guys, several of whom I think maybe weren't getting great offers outside the market. But Hunter Henry, Mike Onwenu, you had to extend a little bit for those guys. You brought them back fine. All right, so it's not like everybody's turning their nose up at playing in New England. The guys who were here already don't seem to have a big problem with it. The rest of these players that you've picked up, you know, Okorafor you got before even tampering started because he got cut. Antonio Gibson, I don't know what kind of big market there was for him. Austin Hooper had like 200 yards last year or 250 or whatever it was. Like, I mean, it's not, you're not talking about guys that were sought after. You're not talking about guys that had a big market. You're not talking about outbidding other teams for some of these players. And so it just sort of seems like, hey, you know, you got all this money. And the Red Sox, we know they have money. You got plenty of money. There's plenty of players out there. Plenty of ways you can improve your team. And maybe these aren't going to be earth-shattering, franchise-altering signings, but they will make you better. They will make your team better. I have to think having Calvin Ridley on your team instead of Juju Smith-Schuster next year would make you better. Or, you know, replacing Devontae Parker with him instead of with nobody makes you a little bit better. Hollywood Brown was there to be had. I mean, maybe he only wanted to play for the Chiefs. He took less money. But there's guys out there who you could have had if you had made more of a commitment to it. Here's the problem, though. I think some of these free agents, like Tyron Smith and like Calvin Ridley, really just use the Patriots as leverage to get better offers in places that they'd rather go. And because the Patriots were unwilling to really blow anybody away, because they were unwilling to really come over the top with an offer that made them an offer they couldn't refuse, okay, Don Corleone style. Because they were unwilling to sort of go there. They were in the mix on Ridley. Ridley did not want to come here. I think the Patriots did have the best offer, certainly between them and Jacksonville. And when it seemed like that offer was the only one left, they went back to Tennessee and said, can you beat this? If you do, he's yours. And they did. Tyron Smith, if it was close money between the Patriots and the Jets, and they asked Tyron Smith, hey, which team do you think you have a better chance of making the playoffs with next year? What do you think Tyron Smith thought? What do you think Tyron Smith's agent thought? The Patriots? No. The Jets are interested. Aaron Rodgers, future Vice President of the United States, Aaron Rodgers, is the quarterback there. And, you know, not for nothing, but even last year with Zach Wilson, they were considerably better than you. So, you know, like, this is where you are. This is where it is. And you had a chance, albeit, you know, you had to do things differently from how you used to, and you have to do things differently from how other teams operate too now in order to land some of these guys, and you were unwilling to do that. And instead, it's, well, you know, wins and losses, that's where the splash comes in. Okay, great. You got four splashes last year. Okay? How many are we shooting for this year? How much better did this team actually get? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Very frustrating. Very frustrating to see these teams and these franchises sort of get treated this way. You know, like, I understand these guys, they own the team, and they can do whatever they want, but it's like, If you remember the way things used to be, it's hard for fans, I think, to watch this and observe this and see how content everybody seems to be with just, you know, last place. The Celtics, they haven't been in last place in a long time. Last time the Celtics finished in last place was 2006. You know what happened the year after that? Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. They haven't finished in last place since. That was 17 years ago. Before that was 1996. It's the year they drafted Antoine Walker. They didn't finish in last place again for another decade. The Bruins? I think the Bruins' last place finish was the year before Claude Julien got there. When, what was the coach with the glasses? Oh, what was his name before Claude? Oh, I can't remember his name. Can you look up who the coach was before Claude Julien? He had glasses. He was this weird, like, scientist-looking guy. Oh, he was this goofy guy. And I think that was the last time they finished in last place. I don't think they've had a last place finish since then. They've missed the playoffs a few times, maybe, but not last place. Not last place. Patriots haven't been in last place since 2000. We all remember that, obviously. And with the Red Sox, I mean, they finished in last place regularly. Dave Lewis, thank you very much. Dave Lewis, the mad scientist. Yeah, that was, I think that was their last, most recent last place finish. It was his year, which I think was 06, because then Claude became the coach in 07, right? So, yeah, okay. Dave Lewis, there's a name for you. There's a name for you old-timers out there, 617-779-7937. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll talk to Jonathan and Randolph, who has a thought on the Patriots. Hi, Jonathan. Jonathan.
Oh, hey, sorry, Arkin. Yeah, I'm calling in because the Patriots' plan, honestly, to me, is kind of more insulting than the Red Sox, because the Red Sox are kind of open about, you know, being just, yeah, we're not going to be that good. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
But the Patriots are the one gaslighting us with the comments by both Mayo and Wolf, and also all of it being the interest kings the last week. And then now, because they made offers, you know, I believe that, but struck out on them, now they're saying, oh, well, it's all about the draft. It's all about the full build. If they started with that, then I could believe them. But they didn't. They said all this stuff. They made offers, failed, and now they're trying to pretend, oh, this was the plan the whole time was to build through the draft, slow build. Then why make those offers? Do you wanted them to reject them? Of course not. So they're just being hypocrites because they failed ultimately because they cheaped out. And yeah, that's worse than the Red Sox, in my opinion.
Jonathan, thanks for the call. The Red Sox, in fairness, I mean, we got full throttle from them, so it's not like, you know what I mean? Like, full throttle, that's still echoing through through Jersey Street and over on Lansdowne. People still talking about full throttle. So that, burning some cash, I mean, listen, it's not been a great PR offseason for either one of those teams. Certainly not for Gerard Mayo, not for anyone, not for Tom Werner, not for anyone who made some sort of, like, grand promise about what this offseason was going to be like. Both of those guys had to walk it back pretty hard. In fact, there's been more walkbacks than there have been free agent signs for both teams. Both more public statements walked back and apologized for than actual players brought in to help the teams, which is amazing. One other thing that upsets me about the Patriots maybe a little bit more than the Red Sox is that the Red Sox for a few years now have sort of been hands-off. They've been building, you know, the Fenway Sports Group. You can tell that there's other things that they're concerned about, sports-wise anyway. And I know the Crafts have other business interests and, you know, packaging and, you know, stuff like that. But, like, when it comes to the sports of it all, the Crafts have the Patriots and the Revolution, who are doing great this year, by the way. And the Patriots are their crown jewel, obviously. With the Red Sox and Fenway Sports Group, I mean, I don't even know where they are on that list right now. I'd say they're maybe ahead of the Penguins, but I don't know that. I don't know that they're ahead of the Penguins. I'd say they're behind the soccer team. I don't know enough about the racing group or whatever that is. I don't know enough about that to say for sure, but I'll tell you what. The Red Sox aren't at the top, that's for sure. And they're definitely not at the top. And ownership, I think, has signaled that to everybody in recent years. Meanwhile, Robert Kraft still positions himself in, you know, media and in documentaries and all sorts of other places as this hometown boy who just, you know, bought the team and only cares about making the team better and blah, 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 blah. It's all about the team and I'm still a fan and this, that, whatever. You're not hearing John Henry trot that old thing out anymore. In fairness, Henry never really trotted it out. He always used to talk about being a fan of Stan Musial. Hey, Stan the man! I would have hated if they traded Stan the man. You know, like that sort of stuff. It's a good impression of him, right? And so there's reason to sort of think, okay, yeah, the Red Sox are a little disconnected. The Red Sox don't, you know, they're sort of down in the portfolio. But the Patriots, Kraft and the Patriots, they present themselves differently. They present themselves as the, you know, Kraft said this. If I can't afford to pay these players, I'll sell the team. And we thought that was a Belichick problem. Well, Belichick's not spending. That was the implication, right? They're not spending because Bill doesn't want to. Bill doesn't want to give money away. Bill doesn't think this guy's worth it. Bill wants to, you know, show how great of a coach he is because he's such, got such an ego. And maybe all those things were partially true on their own. But here we are. It's a new regime, and we're running into a lot of these same problems. 617-779-7937. Michael is in Florida. Go ahead, Michael.
Morning, Christian.
Morning, Michael.
I called because when you had mentioned about the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh, it struck me like they're like paying half what we're paying Jacoby Brissett for Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They got them on like no money contracts. And yeah. I just thought, like, how ironic is that? I mean, say what you want about the two of them. But I mean, Jacoby Brissett, I don't think is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer either. I know he's a good guy and maybe he's a bridge guy, but when you mentioned that, and I looked up the numbers, they're paying like $4.7 million for those two stuff, and they could both start for the Steeler team. They gave up on their guy, but I'm saying to myself, my God, that's pretty good bookkeeping for the Steelers, you know? And as I was waiting on hold, you're bringing up all these things like Gabe Lewis, and
right.
You mentioned earlier about the priest blessing. I remember when the Bruins won the world, when the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, the guy started the homily by saying, "Well, we know God's a hockey fan, you know." So you touched upon a lot of things, and just lastly, you had said after the Red Sox won the last World Series, one of the first things they did was send Mookie Betts on his way. And then you could just see the handwriting on the wall with Bogaerts. And I can't think of the first baseman. Who was the big first baseman we let go? He was here for a few months, and I think he's in Philly now, lighting it up.
Kyle Schwarber. Talking about Kyle Schwarber. That's another one I would have liked to see him keep. Kyle Schwarber should have still been here. That was a good move by Chaim Bloom. One of Chaim Bloom's, maybe his best move. Is that Chaim Bloom's best move, Kyle Schwarber? I mean, he was only here for a third of a season, but I think it might be. I think that might have been the one thing Bloom can point to and say, you know, I wasn't so bad, guys. I don't see Craig Breslow bringing in any Kyle Schwarbers. He brought in that one guy, that outfielder who's humongous. The guy looks like Goldberg. And he was out. I don't know if he's playing today, but Tyler O'Neill. That guy... That guy works out, I think. I mean, even Gabe Kapler looks at that guy like, whoa. Big dude. Yeah, it's been tough. It's been a tough couple years here. Not even so much the losing. I mean, the losing you can put up with if you're of a certain age. You remember the 90s. They lost all the time in the 90s. Everybody was bad in the 90s. All right? But now it's like, you know, it seemed like they were trying to get better. It seemed like they were angling for things. They whiffed on a lot. You know, all these teams. In the 90s, like, the Celtics whiffed on a bunch of draft picks. The Patriots whiffed on a bunch of draft picks in the 90s. That was just sort of how it happened, you know? It was a tough decade, but it seemed like they were trying. With the Red Sox and even the Patriots right now, and I know it's just one off season for the Patriots, and I'm not going to completely write them off here, but this is sort of a pattern, isn't it? This is sort of a pattern that we maybe wrongfully attributed to Bill Belichick, the spending pattern, the value model, you know, let's make sure we get the most value here. And when you have a great defense and a great quarterback, you can sort of mine value out of that. I mean, look at the Chiefs. They're getting value left and right from all sorts of players. By the way, Hollywood Brown there is probably going to go for like 2,000 yards, right? Him and Rashee Rice, a couple of little Smurfs out there. I mean, listen, if Mecole Hardman can, you can get production out of him in the Super Bowl and win despite having Kadarius Toney on your team, I have a feeling that kid's going to do all right. I would have liked the Patriots to be in on him as a consolation prize for Calvin Ridley. That's who I really wanted. I think that's who they really wanted. But they end up with Bupkis. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Steve in Fall River, my good friend Steve. Hey, Steve.
How are you? I do want to talk about the Patriots. Excuse me. Yes, the Patriots offseason. But don't get mad at me when I say that you don't like the Red Sox plan. They have a plan. You just don't like it.
What's that plan?
They're going to build through the farm system. They've got a lot. They're putting a lot of pressure on their stuff. and they didn't send a letter out. Who has the Jonathan and Roberts letter from last year? Could somebody tweet that? Could somebody post me that letter of how they didn't like everything and they were going to do all this stuff? Did anyone hear they were in last place for the last 10 years?
No. No,
10?
That's not true. But listen, Steve.
Spending. Okay,
Steve.
Well, that's what I heard.
Okay, but Steve, in spending, you're right. They've been down at the bottom for 10 years. You're right about that. But
no,
the Red Sox.
They've been last. No.
I just said down at the bottom. All right, fine. Last. They're down at the bottom.
No, you
last.
Said the bottom. Last.
Bottom and last
mean
the same thing, Steve. Stop with the semantics.
Red Sox haven't been last.
Okay, but the Red Sox have been rebuilding for 5 years. All right? This whole build
but
through
they
the.
They haven't been last.
All right,
friend.
But the last 2 years they have in the standings they have.
Did anybody hear that the shortstop that they didn't sign got moved to second base? You think they were going to do better with somebody wants them to sign big name free agents, the Red Sox, and that was good to sign this shortstop they let go to San Diego.
Yeah, I take him at second base right now. That's too, Steve. Who's your second baseman? Who's the Red Sox second baseman? Trevor Story? I mean, come on. You're acting like the Red Sox have some great solution in their middle infield. They don't. They really don't. Keeping Xander Bogaerts wouldn't be some controversial thing to do. And just for the record, the Red Sox, when Chaim Bloom got here, that was the edict, right? All right, you got to start building through the farm system. That's been going on for some time now. All right, Chaim Bloom's gone. Like, you're on the next guy, and you're still doing this? A team with this much money is still building through the farm system? I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. You have too much money. You're too prestigious for this. For this bull crap. You know, balance the books on your own time. Put something on the field that people can go out and watch. That's what I'd like to see. Got a little angry there. I like Steve. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Steve. Sorry for yelling at you. 617-779-7937. I'm trying to be more forgiving. Before I go out and I don't know what's going to happen to me today. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I have an update on the Celtics, and we'll get to more of your phone calls as well.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sunday Mass with Christian Arcand on WEEI.
Look at this, a steal by Brown.
Dunking all over the Phoenix Suns earlier this week. It's Reverend Arcand, Sunday Mass here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here today. The phone number is 617-779-7937. I'll get back to your phone calls here in just a minute. But I wanted to just quickly touch on a couple of things Celtics related. Number one is that Wick Grosbeck, very maybe not subtly anymore, as we watch the Red Sox and Patriots kind of fade away here in this offseason, which is unfortunate. Wick Grosbeck, kind of showing him how it's done, isn't he? I'll credit where it's due. I think it sort of rings hollow if you don't praise the guy who is spending and rip on the guys that aren't. Wick Grosbeck is spending his ass off on this Celtics team. And he's allowing Brad Stevens to go out and do what it takes to improve the team in the offseason. And then not only improve them, but then extend the players that he was able to go out and get. Like, you didn't just get Kristaps Porzingis as a rental. You didn't rent Drew Holiday. You brought those guys in and then paid them and to keep them here. I'm surprised that's not more of an inspiration to people like Robert Kraft, to people like John Henry. And maybe the proof is in the pudding. Like, once again, the Channel Market Research Survey says that the Patriots and the Red Sox are the two most popular teams in town right now. Celtics are third, Bruins are fourth. I don't know where the Revs are. Imagine fifth, or maybe lower. But that's the status right now. That's where it is. The Celtics have a chance to take the city back. I'm not kidding. They have a real opportunity here. If they win a championship and things continue to look this bleak for the Patriots and for the Red Sox, who I think are beginning to sink beneath the waves here with the amount of the amount of attention that their ownership group is giving to them, and not to mention the buzz for the team going into the season. Like, listen, it brings me no joy to say this, but is anyone excited for the Red Sox this year? Is anyone really pumped up for this season? Maybe you got tickets to go to a game or something, and it's fun going to games. Like, I'll admit that. But is anybody pumped up by the direction of this team and the actions of this team for this upcoming season? When's opening day? April something? Like, I mean, we're getting there. You know, most exciting thing so far, we saw some of the prospects play the other day. Like, that's it. Prospects look good against Atlanta. They did. They put up, what, 7 runs? Okay. Brian Baio, the guy they just paid, is getting shellacked in the spring. His ERA is up around 7 right now. He's getting crushed. You know, like, is there any optimism? Is there anything to be excited about? I guess I'm excited to see, like, Tristan Cassis and see him get better. There's a legit, you know, star in the making there on your team. Is that enough to put asses in the seats, come out and see Tristan Cassis hit home runs and play first base? Like, I don't know. I just, you know, like, if he maybe wins an MVP like Mo Vaughn, maybe, then that's something. But like that, you need to draw us in more. All right. It's not enough just being the Red Sox anymore. And by the way, it's not fun when, you know, the fans who do show up are getting drowned out by fans of the other team who are making some big pilgrimage to Fenway to come see the park. Like my friends are doing, this bucket list thing, like my friends are doing for the parade today. I'll tell you what, going to a game, it's a much, much more reasonable bucket list thing to check off for a 40-year-old, or in my case, 42-year-old, than it is going to Boston for the St. Patrick's Day parade. That's just, I mean, that's way, way too late. Way too late. You know, some of those things just got to stay on the list, I think. But, you know, what kind of friend would I be? Anyway, Jaylen Brown, if you haven't noticed, since the All-Star break, is playing at an all-NBA level. Jaylen Brown has been absolutely fantastic lately. Jason Tatum hasn't been bad, but you can clearly see that when he struggles or when he's not playing his normal game or when he's not shooting as efficiently, Jaylen Brown has been there to pick up the slack every step of the way. And with the playoff picture starting to come into form, I like to see that. Does that necessarily mean that I'm going to trust Jaylen Brown in the playoffs? To not turn the ball over, to make his free throws, to sort of, you know, do the right thing when it comes time for him to make a play? No, not there yet. And listen, even with this great run that Jaylen Brown is on right now, he wasn't having a great year up until then. He's having a good year, not a great one. He's been averaging about 30 points a game since the break. And that's brought his points per game average up to about 23 points a game, which, you know, for him, that's not, it was 26, 27 last year. And his shooting percentage has gotten better. He's up around 50%. That's good. He's still not shooting threes at a great clip, but 35, 36% I can deal with. Those sorts of things I'm not really worried about with him. What I'm worried about is that assist to turnover ratio. What I'm worried about are those free throws. He's shooting 70% from the free throw line this year. 70%. Jason Tatum shooting 83%. It's not like, you know what I mean? Like, you've got, this is something you have to pay attention to. It's the playoffs. You're not going to be running teams out of the gym every single night. Just look at last year. Doc Rivers 76ers took you seven, and you had to win the last two just to get this. You had to win game six just to get to seven. You know, you went six with the Atlanta Hawks. It's not going to be some cakewalk. This season has looked like a cakewalk, and maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they will just, you know, completely blow everybody away. 1986, that Celtics team lost one game in the playoffs on their way to the finals. They lost one playoff game in three series, and I know it was best of five in the first round, but still, that's remarkable. I don't see that for these Celtics. I just don't. Not so long as Tatum and Brown are the guys in charge. They can get hot in the regular season, and they're doing it right now. Brown's doing it right now. But I'll believe it when I see it when it comes to the playoffs. It's a good time to get hot. I hope he keeps it up. But, you know, he's shooting 70% from the free throw line again this year. Assist to turnover ratio is 1.6. That's not high. It's not very good. Derek White's is 3.2, just for comparison's sake. All right? You know, it's like these are things that, while they're great to see, and I guarantee you, Jaylen Brown's going to go out there, probably drop 40 on the Wizards tonight because the Wizards suck. You want to see something funny? Go on Twitter and search Washington Wizards highlights. Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma. It's the most, and people have said this, the most unserious team maybe in the history of the NBA. It's Jordan Poole dove for a ball and then almost shot it from a seated position the other day. Like they're throwing alley-oops to each other down 30. In the fourth quarter in some of these games. It's really something. So I imagine that the Celtics will continue to beat up on teams and beat up on Washington today. And I'm sure Jaylen Brown's going to go out there and kill it. Porzingis, though, a little worried about him. Starting to get concerned here. Fifth straight game that he's missed since the start of the month. Kristaps Porzingis has played in three games in the month of March. And, I mean, if you want to pull it back a little more than that, I mean, he's on pace for, I think, 60 games, something like that. Can't do the math in my head real quick, but it's something to keep an eye on here. It's something to keep an eye on with him. Because he's not game time decision. Like, he's been out for five games with a hamstring problem. And if this team goes into the postseason not at 100%, I mean, you know, you talk about it really falling on the shoulders of Brown and Tatum. That's what I'm worried about. Is there a team in the league that I'm really scared of other than Miami? I mean, you got to kind of be scared of Miami. Not really, but I'm scared of the Celtics. I'm scared of what they do in the playoffs. So Porzingis, get well soon. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll come back and reset on the Patriots, the things that happened in the NFL this week, the Justin Fields trade. Where does that leave the Chicago Bears? There's another team right now that's picking a quarterback high in the draft, just like you, New England Patriots. Where does that leave them vis-a-vis where you are right now as you get ready to pick at three? We'll get to all of that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.